First and foremost, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us the opportunity to be here for our Jummah Salah. May Allah tabarakhu wa ta'ala make this gathering of ours, this Jummah Salah of ours, a means of our forgiveness. May Allah ta'ala make it a means of our reformation. And may Allah tabarakhu wa ta'ala make it a means of our salvation. Furthermore, may Allah ta'ala give us the opportunity to seek all the goodness that is in this day of Jummah, the sa'at of acceptance, the moment of acceptance, and all the other barakat and benefits that Allah has kept, the spiritual favors and also the physical favors and prosperity that Allah tabarakhu wa ta'ala has kept in this day. Today we find that we are in a world that is filled with a great amount of tribulation and events that are taking place very swiftly, very quickly, and the situation is evolving and changing very rapidly. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Hadith Sharif has given us an indication of this, that as time progresses, then events will also begin to happen more quickly and swiftly, and time will also pass very quickly. The famous hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we know that a year will go like a month, and a month will go like a week, and a week will go like a day, and a day will feel like an hour, and there are other riwayat and narrations to this effect. And today we are all witness to this. We all can feel this, we all experience this, that how fast is the passage of time. And that time will move and things will happen is something that is a given. It is something that is known and something that no one can stop. No one can stop our lives, no one can stop the clock, and no one will be able to put any brakes on the events that are going to take place. However, what we find in the Hadith Sharif and in the Seerah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that when we are in the thick of all of these challenges, when we are facing the avalanche, then how are we able to keep our feet firm, and how do we navigate the situation, and how do we embrace these challenges, and ultimately how do we prevail as far as our lives and our iman and our deen is concerned? This is really the point or the juncture of reality, and it is the point of consideration for each and every one of us. Sometimes we find what happens is because of information, because of news, because of media, we tend to get overwhelmed by information, by the event itself, and by what is happening. And that sometimes distracts us and makes us lose focus of the response and the approach. And in Islam, we are taught that everything must be done in balance. خَيْرُ الْأُمُورِ أَوْسَاطُهَا. This is a very important principle and a maxim in Islam, especially for our young people. Because our young people are facing lots of challenges when it comes to their identity, their reputation. This morning I was at a program at a school where one of the speakers spoke about the cancel culture. Right? Young people on the internet, on social media, one statement, one word that you say, and that could have a huge impact. It is something that gets recorded. It is something that creates a reaction. And therefore, we must always guard our reputation, our respect, and our integrity. Islam places a lot of emphasis upon the reputation of a person. Wealth can be lost and earned. Health, a person can get sick and he can recover. But when a person loses his character and his reputation, then that is something that is very difficult to reinvent and to recover from. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, my dear friends. So there are a few thoughts in my mind, and I thought for my own benefit and the benefit of our respected congregation, I will share these few thoughts randomly so that we may be able to get some type of understanding and perspective as far as our lives are concerned individually and also our greater responsibility to our families, to the community, and to the ummah at large. If we have to sum up what is happening today, we all know what is in the news. I'm not going to go into details. But we can call it the battlefield of fate. What we are experiencing today is nothing but the battlefield of fate, the battlefield of morality, and the battlefield of values. We have seen a complete collapse of the system of values and justice and faith and all of those things that speak to who a human being is, to what a good person represents. That entire picture, that entire definition has been completely distorted. And the world has been made to believe a different picture of what reality is. But alhamdulillah, we are guided by the all-time guidance of the Quran al-Kareem, by the ultimate guidance of the Quran al-Kareem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Sharif gives us a perspective. One is the perspectives that we are exposed to on social media, through the news house, through the analysis, through the reporters. That's one perspective. And of course, that may to an extent be beneficial. And that is where our balance comes in. That we do not totally ignore the events of the world. We do not alienate ourselves from the reality on the ground. Part of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for a person to be aware, for a person to have something that is called in Arabic as al-wa'yu. Al-wa'yu means to have a strong sense of awareness, for a person to be alive to realities. Because it's only when a person is alive to reality will a person be able to respond to the realities that we are experiencing. So we must understand the perspectives, we must have analysis, we must be able to understand the realities on the ground. We must not become victims of propaganda. We must not become overwhelmed by situations. We must not become emotional and reactive also. We must be guarded and we must be measured in everything that we do. These are the paradigms and the maxims and the usools and the principles of the sunnah. And when we find Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam throughout the seerah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam approached different situations in different ways. Because each situation has its own dynamic. Each situation has its own reality. And therefore, we don't have a blanket approach to all situations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum for 13 years. And each year, we can say in our terms, in terms of tyranny and oppression, can be like 10 years. So 13 years was what the real time was. But if you have to look at it in terms of the oppression and tyranny, you can say each year was like 10 years, for 130 years. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought about a departure from the situation, a new phase of the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims. And what was that? That was none other than the hijrah. The hijrah became the defining line between truth and falsehood. And then a new chapter of Islam opened. And like that, the Muslims remained on the back foot as far as the battles were concerned. They were always, until the battle of the trench came, the battle of Khandaq came, and all the joined. It was an allied force. Every force of evil, we can say, or every force of falsehood, every group of falsehood had gathered now to come and annihilate the Muslims. Completely exterminate the Muslims. They wanted to crush Madinatul Munawwara completely so that it does not rise again. This was the plan. And it was instigated by the Jews. And the history continues. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we know what they did. They employed strategy. They pulled themselves together. They came onto a certain plan of action. And the Khandaq and the trench was built. And there's so much of history about how all of this had unfolded. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this battle, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought victory and the disbelievers had to flee, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is the tipping point. This was now the turning point of advantage. Muslims now, the Muslim Ummah had fought from a position of advantage. So therefore these events that are unfolding, we must look at them in the proper framework. We may look at the situation at the moment and see it's very bleak. It's just disaster upon disaster, calamity upon calamity, catastrophe, just death and massacre. And there doesn't seem to be any scope for hope. But let's go back into the seerah and see how Muslims suffered and how Muslims prevailed. And sometimes when we read different narratives. We read the narrative of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his persecution and what he underwent, the suffering he underwent. And after that, Allah ta'ala elevated him. And where Allah ta'ala elevated him? To the heights of becoming the Muazzin of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on the day of Qiyamah, the one who will be holding the reins of the camel of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. And then we look at another situation of Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala. Also gave tremendous sacrifice. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree that she would become the first martyr in Islam. And like that, when we look through the Quran Sharif and through the seerah, we find there were instances of people who stood on their principle, who stood for faith, who stood for the truth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them and Allah ta'ala allowed them to prevail and continue. And then we have people and individuals and groups who also stood for the truth, but their destiny was something else. Like for example, Ashabul Ukhdud, we read in Surah Al-Buruj. These were Muslims of faith, who were burnt alive in the trenches. Trenches were dug, and innocent people were put into these trenches and burnt alive. The hairdresser of the daughter of Fir'aun, a Muslimah who was living in the castle of Fir'aun, she is doing the hair, and the comb falls from her hand. She lifts the comb up, she picks the comb up from the floor, and she says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The daughter of Fir'aun hears this and said, what did you say? She said, I said, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. She said, are you calling out to a Lord besides my father? Who are you referring to? She said, I am referring to Allah the One, not your father. She goes and reports it to her father. Her father calls this woman forward. She's a mother of five children. She said, do you not regard me as the Lord? She says, no, Allah is the One. And what happens? This woman is taken. One child after another is put into a cauldron of boiling water. And now it's just herself and the infant who she is breastfeeding in her hand left. She sees her four children in front of her eyes being burnt in that cauldron. And now she's given one more chance. And because of the infant, to some extent, she sort of not hesitates, but she resists. And then her iman kicks in, and then she lets go of the baby. They take that baby from her, and she makes one wasiyat. She says, all our bones must be gathered together and buried together. They then put the child into the cauldron, and after the child, they put her into the cauldron. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa sallam goes for Mi'raj, he gets a fragrance sweeter than the fragrance of musk. And he asks Jibreel alayhi salam that whose fragrance this is. Jibreel alayhi salam tells him, this is the fragrance of the hairdresser of the daughter of Fir'aun who was martyred with her children. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a grand plan. Innahum yakiduna kayda. They have all of these, like we're hearing now in the news, the peace plan and this plan and the boundaries that they are drawing. And we can see the hypocrisy in all of this. We can see and we know from past experience how all of this has turned out to be more massacre and more deaths. And Allah protect our people. But beyond all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Akidu kayda. I am working a grand plan. Something great is going to happen. Something will happen. And how that will happen and when that will happen is not in our knowledge. It's not in anyone's knowledge besides the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For us at the moment is for us not to become weakened. For us not to step aside. for us not to falter and for us not to become inactive. Sometimes when these things happen, you know, we hear, oh, alhamdulillah, now there's a little bit of peace, now there's, you know, stop. So what happens? Everyone also stops. We should not be deceived by this. Rather, it is not only the end or a cease, but rather we should regard this as the beginning to take the situation further to an ultimate outcome that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us, inshaAllah. The analysts are saying there are fears. They are not convinced that everything is going to work out the way that it's being meant to be or that it's being portrayed to be. But we have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it will bring about a good outcome, inshaAllah. My dear friends, from our side, where do we position ourselves? We are far from the reality of what is happening. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us a responsibility, and Allah has given us weapons, and Allah has given us arrows. We have the arrow of knowledge. We have the arrows of unity and finding common purpose. We have the arrow of ibadat and dua. We have the arrow of the tear of a believer. And we have the arrow of our collective fikr. And why I'm stressing on knowledge and ilm is because we find that the ummahs of the past, whenever they succeeded and prevailed, they always prevailed on the premise of knowledge. The rich legacy of Islam was based on the academic achievements of the scholars of that time. The Grand Library in Baghdad, which was the pinnacle between the 8th century and the 12th century, was known as a golden era in Islam. Rich in literacy, rich in activism, rich in all of those things that made the Ummah great and made the Ummah influential, that made the Ummah lead. And that is why the Ummah needs to take a lead in every sphere of human existence. Our understanding of leadership and our concept of leadership sometimes is limited. That as Muslims, we must make our ibadat, we must have our dhikr, and we must make dua, and we must perform our salah, and we must read our Quran, and we must fast in Ramadan, and we must give our zakat, and we must go for Hajj and Umrah. Alhamdulillah. Thumma alhamdulillah. These are great ibadat. But is the house of Islam limited to ibadah? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only want us to do ibadah? Or does Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala require Muslims to advance themselves, to enhance themselves, to progress themselves in all areas and spheres that Islam promulgates? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with the highest form of ibadat and ihsan and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dua, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also adopted the highest form of preparation or strategy or technique and intelligence in everything that he did. If we look at just the history of the seerah and every battle for that matter, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on hijrah, the kuffar were looking for him on the conventional route to Madinah Sharif. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made adequate preparations and he was able to circumvent the ambush of the disbelievers. He took the sea route and he went in the opposite direction. And he took all precautions and he adopted all modes of intelligence that were available at that time. So secretly that even his close family relatives did not know that he had already left Makkah al-Mukarramah. Even family members in Madinatul Munawwara did not know that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was coming to Madinah Sharif. This is what Islam teaches us. And today, my dear friends, we should ask ourselves, as Muslims who Allah Ta'ala has given us intellect, Allah has given us opportunity, Allah Ta'ala has given us resources, that where does our responsibility lie? It is the trend of Islam. In fact, Allah Ta'ala, whenever He sent a Nabi to a people, He would send the Nabi with those miracles. And with that those type of ayat, that would be able to influence and impress, and also not only impress and influence, but would outdo what was the trend of that time. What was in vogue at that time. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's time, people were impressed with medicine and science. Science and medicine was something that was in vogue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Nabi Isa alayhi salam those miracles that would outdo all the inventions and the theories of science and medicine that were prevalent at that time. He was able to cure the blind. He was able to wake up a dead person. And he was able to do things that baffled the science of that time. To prove to the people, or not to prove to the people, but to indicate to the people that he is a true Nabi. Musa alayhi salam's time, it was sihr and magic. That was in vogue at that time. People were impressed with magic. If you could do magic, you were great. And magicians were all over the land. What did Allah Ta'ala do? Allah Ta'ala gave Nabi Musa alayhi salam such a karamat and miracle that would consume the magic of the magicians and prove and show and indicate to the people that Nabi Musa alayhi salam is not a magician, but he is a Nabi of Allah who's coming with something that your minds could not even comprehend and think of. And our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his time, it was literacy. It was language. The people of Makkah prided themselves over language. The Kaaba was full of poems, of narratives. Vie with the other. Who can write better? Who can sing better? And Allahu Akbar, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The greatest miracle. The miracle of all time. Al-Quran al-Kareem, Al-Quran al-Hakim. So what we understand from these are all the readings of the seerah. We've got to read the seerah objectively, my dear friends. And I want to give a message to our young people. When we are reading first, we must become readers. Allahu Akbar. Allah give us tawfiq. Today our ummah, unfortunately, and that is why I'm talking about knowledge. And I'm talking about learning. That if we want to succeed, we want to lead, we want to be influential, we want to rise, we're going to have to start reading and then learning and then achieving. We have to become an ummah of readers. I was reading an article. The average Jew in the world today reads 40 books a year. You go to Europe in the tram trains. We walk in. You're looking at everyone. Is anyone looking at you? They've got their heads booked. They got their head buried in a book. Go to an airport. Recently, was at the Cape Town airport. We went to receive a guest there in the international section, and I was surprised that they got an airport library. In the airport, they got an airport library. So they've given so much of importance to literacy, to reading, to understanding, because this is the starting point of success. And whose ta'lim is this? Whose legacy is this? It's not their legacy. It's our legacy. Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. The very first word that was revealed was none other than read. Read. So our young friends, read the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we read the seerah, there are two ways of reading, or there are two parts of reading. One is to read the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a factual journey of his life. In other words, 1 AH, 2 AH, before Hijrah, after Hijrah, the different battles and the different stats and the statistics, etc. That's understandable. We should know that because that's the factual aspects of the seerah. But we do not limit our reading and our understanding of the seerah just to the facts of it. But there is an entire seerah within the seerah. There is a message in every passage. There is a message in every event. There is solutions. There is answers. There is nasiha. There is a lot that is contained within the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all of that is our treasure, and that which we can relate with today. We ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq, my dear friends, in this difficult time of the ummah. We are all within this broader battle that is taking place, this great war that is being waged. It is not a war that is pinned to a location or a people. This is something that we are all in it together. And our responsibility is as much as the responsibility of those who are right there in the forefront. And we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq. Allah give us the ability to be able to become thinkers and readers, to understand situations in the proper way. Because when we will read and understand, we will be able to respond, and we will be able to correspond, and we will be able to engage, and then we will be able to influence. Unfortunately, today the ummah is such that we are being influenced. Rather, we should be the trendsetters and being influencing the world with the seerah and the sunnah and the Quran. And thereafter, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq, to be able to come together. We must be able to find common ground. We must be able to forgive each other. We must be able to live and let live. If we cannot harmonize ourselves within our own small circles, how are we going to gain the broader unity of the ummah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those who bind and those who join and those who unite, inshaAllah. And together with that, we have a moral conscience of what is happening in Gaza, the wealth that we spend, the way that we are living our life, that there is starvation. We should feel a conscious of starvation. We may not be starving, but we should be having a conscious of a starving person. We are sleeping comfortably, but we should have the conscience of a person who has got bombs above their head and are unable to sleep night after night. And like that, in every respect, if we aliven our spiritual conscience, our moral conscience, our emotional conscience, and every other respect, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate us, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will grant the ummah victory. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.